Good morning, this 12-12 day. My name is Michael McCusker. The following is a screed I have written, followed by a couple of others by others. In regard to the long-awaited impeachment of Donald Trump, who has been America's fake president for far too long, nearly a full term, and who has displayed his ruthlessness to keep the White House for much more evil intent than to simply stay out of jail for crimes he claims are protected by presidential immunity. It might be useful as well as entertaining to remember a few prophecies, old and new, that applied at the beginning of his foul and wretched presidency. The first might as well be the acerbic drollery of H.L. Mencken, who wrote the often quoted piece of apocalyptic revelation in the Baltimore Evening Sun on July 26, 1920, a century before the optical distortion already warping 2020. A democracy is perfected. The office of the president represents more and more closely the inner soul of the people, Mencken wrote. On some great and glorious day, the plain folks of the land will reach their heart's desire at last, and the White House will be occupied by a downright fool and complete narcissistic moron. Next, a lengthy but close-to-the-bone prediction from The Guardian newspaper, the American version, right after Trump's lopsided win of the 2016 election, in which he lost the popular vote by nearly 3 million and might purloin a second term by the same chicanery, with a little help from the Russians again. The unthinkable is only unthinkable until it happens, The Guardian wrote. Then, like the sacking of Rome, it can seem historically inevitable. So it is with the global earthquake that is the election of Donald Trump as President of the United States. If he is true to his campaign pledges, which are many and reckless, Mr. Trump's win will herald America's most stunning reversal of political and economic orthodoxy since the New Deal in the 1930s, but with the reverse effect. It halts the ailing progressive narrative about modern America and the 21st century world in its tracks. It signals a seismic rupture in the American-dominated global liberal economic and political order that seemed to command the 21st century after communism collapsed and China's economy soared. Americans have done a very dangerous thing. Because of what they have done, we all face dark, uncertain, and fearful times. And that was The Guardian's karmic crystal ball. There have recently been a plethora of quotes, misquotes, and fake quotes from the founding generation about the reawakening of abominations that have confounded American history since its revolutionary origins. At the very beginning, Benjamin Franklin, who is not quoted as often as other Yankee Doodle originals, said we have a republic if we are able to keep it, and he warned that it would be ultimately end, quote, when the people become so corrupted as to need despotic government, being incapable of any other. And that was Benjamin Franklin. A former Russian official who served in the Yeltsin government after the fall of communism told the New Yorker magazine following Trump's inauguration, "My fear is that this is probably the first time that we have the same kind of people on both sides, in the Kremlin and in the White House, the same people. It's probably why they like each other. It's not a matter of policy, but it's that they feel they are alike. They care less for democracy and values and more for personal success, however that's defined." Kiss met, well met with fate, which the rogue humorist and muckraker Ambrose Bierce defined in his Devil's Dictionary as a tyrant's authority for crime and a fool's excuse for failure. Premonition of would-be trumped-up despots have percolated through every era. In early 17th century England, Shakespeare theatrically articulated warnings and portents and evils imminent, quote, unquote. Gilbert Sells, brother of radical journalistic George Sells, included in a 1934 translation of Aristophanes' 2,500-year-old play Lysistrata, a profound description by the great Greek playwright of the world's pernicious tyrants from Sargon on, quote, the eternal demagogue, scoundrel and profiteer, who makes his appearance in every war and persuades his countrymen not only that all patriotism has descended upon him, but that all patriotism must flow out of him, and that to reject him is to be disloyal and traitorous. And that was Aristophanes. Jump a few centuries forward, and we have a bit of Roman graffiti. Monthly, Caesar commemorates the founding of the city. Hourly, the dissolution of the Republic. 17 centuries later, Edward Gibbon wrote his epic, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, and he confessed his fatigue, quote, with the disgustful relation of Emperor Nero's crimes and follies. Nero was literally chased off his throne after the Great Fire of Rome in 64 AD, which has unsubstantially been blamed on Nero, who committed suicide before the mob caught up with him, though he might have been assisted by an aide. Somewhat a reminder of Trump. From the first moment when he lied about the size of the crowd at his inauguration and insisted the media accept the new regime of alternate facts and truths, quote unquote, Trump violated his charter of office. And from that first fake moment, Trump has wiped his feet on the Constitution, blown his nose on the Bill of Rights, and treated the entire concept of the rule of law as though it were toilet paper. As for human rights, Trump and his brainless trust have yet to decide whether the American people have the right to any rights, and he has threatened birthright citizenship guaranteed by the 15th Amendment as disposable. Trump just might be the world's worst nightmare for a human future. Not only is he an unstable nuclear cowboy, he recklessly plunges humanity into climactic solar side. This might be explained by his narcissism in the sense that he cannot imagine life continuing beyond him. We should all hope the Pentagon has figured how to neutralize Trump's trigger these past 3+ years. Trump is the 666th president. He has been conducting a coup d'etat against democracy since the day he descended like a god on his golden escalator from a fake cathedral ceiling. Trump is the real crime wave incessantly eroding the rule of law and truth and human decency as well. Trump is the only person in America who publicly and adamantly declares that he is above the law and essentially insists any and all slights against him are crimes of treason. Traitorous Benedict Arnold, who was initially a hero of the Revolution, betrayed his newly forming country for similar wrathful bitterness and manic, narcissistic self-pity to Trump's petulant defense that his defiance of constitutional law is his divine right as president, a contradiction the founders attempted to counteract with the law of impeachment to remove unfit presidents. Arnold's disloyalty was minor compared to Trump's apostasy. He conspired to turn over West Point to King George. Trump is selling out the USA and democracy itself. And for that, he is impeached, although the precise indictments are more narrow. The first article of impeachment charges him with abuse of power, blackmailing Ukraine to besmirch a likely 2020 opponent in next year's presidential election. The second charge is obstruction of Congress, quote unquote, for refusing to provide documents and blocking subpoenas for testimony. Donald Trump's impeachment might be analogous to the opening guns at Fort Sumter and to what could very well be a grim and bloody 2020 civil war. never brood on the past, another infamous American sacrilegist, Aaron Burr, once said. Think always of the future and how bad it is bound to be. So it ought to be necessarily wise to fortify ourselves with basic principles of American democracy before the real crisis confronts our sensibilities. An irony is that two anniversaries of human rights occur this week, the first on the day impeachment proceedings were announced, and the second this upcoming Sunday. This past Tuesday, December 10th, was the 71st anniversary of the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights of 1948, which Carol Newman commemorated on her Tuesday morning KMUN program. The Declaration consists of 30 articles, beginning with, "All human beings are born free and equal in dignity and rights. They are endowed with reason and conscience and should act toward one another in a spirit of brotherhood." Quote, unquote. The UN Declaration is aspirational, a tremulous hope for a future humane humanity. The Bill of Rights to the United States Constitution, which celebrates its 228th anniversary this Sunday, December 21st, is and has been the law of the land since 1791. There probably has not been a more necessary time to know exactly our rights and obligations as American citizens, particularly now that President Donald Trump is being impeached for having disregarded constitutional law and crowning himself king. American citizens not only have basic legal and human rights to protect from tyranny, we have the obligation to resist tyranny in all its forms. We also have the legal right to protect our rights, which makes us responsible for those rights. Even though the 13 states involved in the Revolution of 1776 mandated bills of rights as preface or within their individual constitutions, the U.S. Constitution of 1787 did not originally include individual rights, which precipitated a prolonged and bitter fight. And even the fact they were eventually added as amendments and not within the body of the Constitution created a dispute that still smolders. In a very real sense, the division between those who believed a Bill of Rights to the Constitution was unnecessary and those who fervently demanded they were essential was primarily that the former regarded themselves as the new leader class and the latter knew they were not, and that enumeration of their basic liberties was absolutely necessary. One of them reflected a common opinion when he wrote, "It is essential to a republic to have its laws plain and simple as far as possible and known to every member of the least attention." As is done to ballast an argument, spurious or otherwise, I take Thomas Jefferson out of context, but which is pertinent. Experience has shown that even under the best forms of government, those entrusted with power have in time perverted it to tyranny. And that was Jefferson. This is not about so-called original intent, but it is certainly about clearly stated fundamental rights of every American citizen, born or naturalized. Donald Trump, thy name is perverted tyranny, P.T., as in P.T. Barnum, your historical evil twin and mentor. And so, the Bill of Rights to the American Constitution. Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievance. Article 2. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Article 3. No soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any home without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person and things to be seized. Article 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war or public danger. Nor shall any person be subject to the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb. Nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against him or herself, nor to be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. Article 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witness against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Article 7. In suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. Article 8. Excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. Article 9. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Article 10. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And those were the original 10 amendments, the 10 commandments of the United States Constitution. And the 14th Amendment, one of the so-called Civil War Amendments, 13, 14, and 15, which was originally passed to provide federal protection for individual rights of slaves freed by the 13th Amendment, has been the major propellant for compliance by the states for the Bill of Rights as a result of its due process clause, applying nearly all of the specific guarantees of the first 10 amendments. Article 14, Section 1. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privilege or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. Section 5. The Congress shall have the power to enforce, by appropriate legislation, the provisions of this article. The 15th Amendment guarantees that the right of citizens of the United States shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of race, color, or previous condition of servitude, quote unquote. The 15th Amendment is the original Voting Rights Act, which should put original intent addicts, as well as vote restriction promoters and gerrymandering politicians, on notice that every attempt to deny anyone's qualifications or opportunity to vote who is eligible to vote is patently unconstitutional and criminally illegal. And now I would like to read something I've written, which I construe as my definition of democracy. So I ask for you to accept my disclaimer that this is my democratic opinion among all the democracies of opinion. Democracy begins at home. With a quote by John Locke, whilst the parties of man cram their tenets down all men's throats whom they can get into their power, without permitting them to examine their truth or falsehood, and will not let truth have fair play in the world, nor men the liberty to search after it, what improvement can be expected? What greater light can be hoped for in the moral sciences? And that was John Locke. Democracy begins at home. First in the heart. From there, it radiates through the house into the neighborhood and community. It is found in smaller places rather than in massive standardized illusions of popular culture that reflect vapid manipulation and mendacity, as well as gross distortions of constitutional purposes and interpretations. Democracy is a pragmatic compromise between a yearning for freedom and the urge to frustrate it. It is an elaborate, though inherently fragile, system of compromise between diverse and disparate ambitions and ideologies represented by a variety of economic and political classes, though a classless society is enshrined as democratic myth. The irony is that democracy is better able to tolerate class differences than any other system of government. The only possible survival for a democracy is to erect and maintain a balance between its conflicting factions and allow none of them to gain such power as to be capable of suppressing or ravaging any of the rest. So long as no particular interest is powerful enough to fully and finally overwhelm its varied opponents, nor any alliance capable of singleness of purpose enough to accomplish that end, a tacit respect for the terms and laws of constitutional democracy is maintained, and at rare moments, what might accidentally amount to social justice is sometimes conceived and enacted as law of the land, though opposing forces waste precious little time setting about to overturn whatever might be to their disadvantage. Democracies are themselves compromises between dreamlike Edens of anarchy, socialist collectives, or workers' paradises, in which individual liberties are usually forfeit, as are most worldly possessions, including food and shoes, and aristocracies of one form or another that rule through tradition and privilege for the signal purpose of their own comfort, which is historically at the expense of the great masses of enfranchised citizens who are obliged to toil and obey. Democratic governments are most often inspired by rising classes of bourgeoisie, who, though generally liberal in outlook, are seldom naive about the affairs of business and finance. The political suffrage of the public at large is allowed, but restricted, and channeled to stifle any possibly contagious outbreaks of populism. Democracies face periodic crises when ideological concerns lose patience with legislative or judicial processes. Powerful, more often than not, retrogressive and reactionary forces rise at times of rapid social transformation, which also generally include more than usual excesses of corruption and weakened economies as well. When ideologies rigidify into implacable positions that despise workable compromise, civil violence is likely to erupt, initially on a skinhead scale, but savage extremes could be quickly reached, such as an earlier experience during the Civil War years, 1861 to 1865, or the butchery in Syria since the Arab Spring of 2011. A distinction should be made between the violence of an uncompromising government and the uncompromising violence of a rapacious minority determined to undermine and overthrow government. The current political climate in the United States is incendiary, which is reflected by condescending political parties that attempt to placate extreme right-wing ideologues who manipulate the democratic process to ultimately eradicate it. In particular, the premise that one political party be allowed absolute power with the claim that a single ideology is right and every other political opinion regarded as unpatriotic or treachery is the most pervasively dangerous aspect of contemporary politics in the United States. Democracy evolves like nationalism, capitalism, socialism, and communism. It is no more than part of a process of human development that is always evolving into something else. Ideas, which are usually expressions of concern people have about their collective welfare, develop into ideologies that separate them as enemies. Ideologies do not usually translate well into reality, except they often make it appalling by the fervor with which they are promoted. Governments generally violate their charters, and no matter how they wish to be considered, are most often oppressive to their populations and aggressive with their neighbors. Political rights or liberties hard won by one generation are usually eroded by successors, who take them for granted without realizing how rare, necessary, and fragile they are. the history of an age is not about solutions to problems, but of the struggle between several possible explications and the manner in which seekers for certain answers are deflected by others working toward other rationales. Capitalism, communism, fascism, any and all isms are constantly reforming, overlapping, and separating, and inherent within all of them are the human factors of power, avarice, corruption, intolerance, violence, and asininity. No system is foolproof, and like every other organism, each moves toward decay. The further in time a form of rule or ideology moves from its original founders, the less recognizable its foundations. The late Murray Kempton once wrote that the bearers of political myth of every era seem to carry in their hands the axe and the spade to execute and inter the myths of every previous era. Human beings cannot escape history is the Marxist idea, but humans make their own history. Freedom and equality, like love, begin at home. We might remember a few words from Judge Learned Hand. Quote, liberty lies in the hearts of men and women. When it dies there, no constitution, no law, no court can save it. And Franklin Delano Roosevelt's second Bill of Rights. Every American has the right to, one, a job, two, an adequate wage and decent living, three, a decent home, four, medical care, five, economic protection during sickness, accident, old age, or unemployment, six, a good education. And that was FDR's second Bill of Rights. And now I would like to read a poem by an old friend, J.D. Wells of Seaside, whom I have not talked to until just the other day for quite a long time. His poem, The American Way. These are gray days. There aren't shadows enough for ghosts to hide in. We're so susceptible here, out of our element, away from the diversions that help us forget the bloody hand that feeds us is our own. Come on, son, shine. We have plenty enough of regrets today. The phantom jets ripping through the clouds along the shore must remind us the exact substance this easy life is made of. Force. Simple, brutal force. We just turn to ash what we can't win the love of. It's the American way. Come on, son. Shine. Today we need to get out on the beach and forget who we are. And that was The American Way by J.D. Wells. This is Michael McCusker. Happy Friday the 13th.